for those who want to dig deep and grow strong. This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and teacher, Jeff Kinley. It's time to power up your faith and take your walk to the next level. Now, here's Jeff with today's podcast.
Okay, admittedly took a week off there because my son was graduating from law school. So we took a trip to Virginia to celebrate this momentous occasion. And what an incredible guy, I'm telling you. So proud of my three sons, all three of them successful and with their families and with their faith and also with their careers. But hey, the point is I'm back. And here on the Vintage Truth Podcast, you know, I've been getting so much correspondence from people, and I'm so very grateful for that. And by the way, thank you guys for writing me. You can go to my website, jeffkinley.com, click on that contact tab, and you can send me a note or whatever, or ask a question. But I'm really grateful for that, because what it does is it lets me know that where I am scratching, you're itching. In other words, not for itching ears to please people, but itching spiritually in the sense of being able to adequately equip you in the things that that God is doing in your life and questions that you have about where we are. And where we are is a precarious place. In fact, I believe we're living on the precipice of the darkest moments of human history. We are in the process of seeing the precursors to prophecy being fulfilled that were predicted 2,500 years ago in the book of Daniel. And what is happening right now in the world with the Davos agenda, the D-A-V-O-S, Davos, Switzerland, it's the World Economic Forum's event they hold every year, the global elitists gather, and they talk about how they can take over the world. That's the essence of their agenda. And you can read about it. You can go to their website and read all about it. It sounds very, very noble, even at times almost Christian. But we want equality for everyone. We want to, you know, take care of everyone. We want justice. We want economic opportunity for everyone. Bottom line, what it really means, you want to translate it to the bottom line, it just means we want to rule you and we want to rule the world. And ultimately, all they're doing is creating the foundation of the infrastructure for Antichrist to come in and say, oh, okay, I'll be ahead of this whole thing. And then they end up being the ones that are ruled. It's funny just how irony the irony of prophecy works that way. But all that to say is there are so many things that are happening in the world that are changing so rapidly, my friend, that honestly, I can't keep up with it. And to be honest with you, I don't try. You know, there are a lot of guys in the prophecy community that I greatly admire that are their news sources. I mean, they give you up-to-date stuff that's going on. I think of guys like Tom Hughes, guys like Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati. I mean, these are guys that are like listening to what's happening every day and then disseminating that. And that's not me. I'm not that guy. That's not me. I'm strictly just, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says and then relate it to the world, but I don't have the luxury of time to have my ear to the ground at all times. Now, I'm looking around, but I'm just not looking at everything, and because that's not who I am. Now, I do once a month join Tom Hughes on his channel at a show called World News Briefing, and he and I, for an hour, we tackle everything that's happening that's pertinent to you in world news. So go to World News Briefing on hischannel.com and you can once a month watch Tom and I talk about these headlines and how the Bible speaks to them. Now that's one thing. The second thing on his channel is my show, called Jeff Kinley Live, and it's 30 minutes every week specifically and exclusively about Bible prophecy. So that's where you get just the straight teaching from the Word. And I do relate it to things in the world, but the main thing is I want to equip you and give you the biblical tools that you need and the goggles, the glasses, the template through which to read the world with a scriptural lens. Speaking of global events, there's one coming up. And it's going to happen June 9th. Of course, I'm recording this on May the 24th, 2022. But on June 9th, a truly global event is happening. And I'm talking about Dr. Mark Hitchcock and I are going to join Jan Markell and Pastor Mark Henry for a live stream event that's going to go all over the world. And the reason I call it a global event is not only because of that, but because of the topic that we're discussing, which is our new book called Global Reset. Dr. Mark Hitchcock and I have written this book called Global Reset, Do Current Events Point to Antichrist and His Worldwide Empire? And we've put this book together for you. It is releasing June the 14th. You can go right now on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you order your books, Christian book distributors, wherever, and buy this book or pre-order this book, and it'll be shipped to you on the day that it releases, or perhaps even the day before, and get this copy of Global Reset. You're going to need this book. This book is a manual for what's happening right now, and it's not going to stop. It's not going to be like a, it's a six-month thing, and it'll all be over. No, this is going to continue. All this is going to continue until the day we are raptured, okay? So we're going to talk in there about what's going on right now, what one world under Antichrist will look like. We have a chapter on the coming cashless society, one on China and Bible prophecy that's very relevant, one chapter I wrote called America at Dusk. We are seeing the sunset on America. What does that look like? What is God waiting for? How do we scan the horizon? Does God have his own reset planned? What does that look like? And then how to reset your own world. There's so many great topics in this book, and you're going to want to get a copy of it. It's going to be a bestseller, I guarantee it, just because of the fact of where we are right now in history. Now, there are going to be probably 1,000 people at this event in Minneapolis at Mark Henry's church, but you can watch it, okay? You can live stream it at markhenryministries.com. That's markhenryministries.com. And this Understanding the Times event with myself and Dr. Mark Hitchcock will be amazing. So you can see that you can get the Mark Henry Ministries app. You can see it on Roku. You can watch it on Apple TV. But that's how you do it. And anyway, you're going to want to be a part of that. It's going to be truly a global event. Now, related to that, I want to talk about why all this is happening. Because right now, so many things are falling into place. Everything from the push for a digital currency, which is happening in our country right now by our current president, to this whole idea of worshiping the planet, climate change, to the debate over abortion, and the idea that a woman essentially is a goddess and she gets to rule the realm of her own body, even other bodies that are inside her body. There's so many of these things that are coming together. The nations are pushing for unity and globalization. And they tried to do it over COVID, which is not done, by the way. And they're now starting to do this over this monkeypox hoax that's out there. Just don't be fooled by stuff, okay? Don't watch the news. The third thing is this war with Russia and Ukraine has also really caused the nations to coalesce against Russia and against the idea that, oh, this is the very reason why we need to be unified. Because if we're unified, then this thing won't happen. We'll all agree on the same thing. And why that is such a ridiculous idea, the whole pie in the sky idea that, oh, we'll all just get along. Yeah, until someone decides they want to be in charge. So we're going to have this kind of conflict until really all through Revelation. But here's the deal. So I want to talk about why all this is happening. We may do a couple of podcasts about this. But it all comes back. It all begins at a place called heaven. And it happens sometime after creation, sometime after day 7 of creation. Because as you look at Genesis 1 and 2, what you find is that after every day that God created something, he said, it is good. It is good. It is good. It is good. And then He created man. And the only time he said it's not good is when there wasn't a helper suitable for Adam. But everything was good in the garden. And then all of a sudden, chapter 3, here comes Satan. Where did he come from? Well, we don't know the exact chronology or timing of events. But most likely sometime after day 7 and the time when the serpent appears in the garden, we don't know how long that is, whether it's moments, days, months, we're not told, enough to where Adam and Eve did not procreate. So Adam's tending the garden and Eve is his helpmate. She's there beside him and they're doing what God told them to do in the garden, but they didn't have sex. Okay. So this is probably a very short time between day 7 and the time the serpent appears in the garden. So because they hadn't even come together as man and woman yet. So very short time, probably. Now, here's the thing. So why? Why did Satan decide that he wanted to be in charge of the world? Well, if you look back in Isaiah and chapter 14, this allusion to Satan, you see in verse 12, God says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, O sun of the dawn." Oh, and by the way, Job tells us that the stars of heaven, and that's referring to angels, sang for joy at creation. So that's another reason why we know that Satan had not fallen at the time of creation. He had to come just after creation had ended because they were all singing for joy. It was all good. Okay, verse 12. "How you've fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You've been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God." There again, stars referring to angels. "And I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north." Now, here's the thing. So Satan had within his heart, we don't know where this came from, but in his heart he said, I want to be in charge of heaven. I want to be in charge of all of the angels. And he says he wanted to raise his throne. Now, he had a throne. When I say throne, I mean authority. Satan had authority over angels. He had authority in heaven. And the Bible calls him in Ezekiel 28, which we'll look at in a second, the anointed cherub that covers. We'll talk about that. Anyway, he says, "I want to sit on the throne in the Mount of Assembly." Then he says, verse 14, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." I will make myself like the Most High. In other words, I'm going to be God. I'm going to stage a coup in heaven, and I'm going to take over. Now, what kind of arrogance, having been in the presence of God, is that you would think you could accomplish that? I know exactly what kind of arrogance it is. It's the exact same arrogance that we see in Revelation chapter 19, when Satan gathers all of the armies of the world, including Antichrist and the false prophet, and he lands ends up on Megiddo, the Valley of Armageddon, believing with all of his heart he is going to defeat Jesus, who's going to come back on a white horse with all of his armies with him. The kind of arrogance that thinks you can do that is the same arrogance that thinks you can take over the throne of God in heaven. Now, we look at that objectively. We go, that's stupid. It's just dumb. But Satan is brilliantly stupid. He's so self-deluded, self-deceived, just like many people are today. Anyway, over in Ezekiel 28, to piggyback on this, this is a lamentation over the king of Tyre, but it also is speaking most likely of Satan, who is behind the throne, okay, of Tyre. So he's essentially addressing the power behind the throne of Tyre. "Son of man, take up a lamentation," verse 12, "over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord, you had the seal of perfection. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Satan was a beautiful creature at one point. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Okay. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you on the day you were created. Tells us that angels are not eternal, they're created. Satan was a brilliant, brilliant angel that was reflecting the glory of God. As we read about in Revelation chapter 4 of the throne of God, and how there are some of these jewels there that are refracting and reflecting the glory of God as well. It says, you were the anointed cherub. That's a class of angel who covers what? We don't know. Probably the throne of God. That symbolically, he was protecting the throne of God. He had close proximity to God's throne. You were the anointed. That means you were specially chosen by God and set apart for this service. You're the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there, God says. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You are blameless in all of your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found within you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. Now, those two passages are the primary passages in Scripture where we understand the fall of Satan. And when you get to Revelation chapter 12, you see again that there is a war in heaven. And Satan, it says in verse 4, it says in his tail, it's talking about the great red dragon, his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. So the original fall of Satan took a third of the angels. How many is that? Well, we don't know, but we do know this, that over in Revelation chapter 9, Satan leads, or releases rather, an army of demonic cavalry. And their number, according to verse 16, it says the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. 200 million. So minimum 200 million angels. That's a lot of angels. I mean, that's two-thirds the population of the United States, right there. So why are we seeing all of this happening right now in the world with the World Economic Forum, with globalism? Why have we written this book called Global Reset? Here's why. Because of a 6,000-year-old ancient ambition, an ancient evil ambition that Satan had back in the early days of creation. And his desire is to rule the world. He has long wanted to be worshipped, to be adored, to receive the accolades. And you say, well, why did that happen? Well, we don't know, but I'm totally speculating here. But watch this as we close up. Satan may have looked down right after creation and seen the world that God had given to Adam and Eve, God had given to the crown of his creation, Genesis 1:26, that was created in his image. Satan saw that and saw, wait a minute, he gets to rule his own world. He gets to rule over the animal kingdom. What am I ruling over? Nothing. I'm just serving here. I'm just serving God. And Satan may have, and he is a very jealous creature, may have had this jealousy rise up in him. He resented mankind, which is why he hates you, by the way, because you are the crown of God's creation, and said to himself, I want me some of that. And so he came down. The only way he could get it was to take man out of the way from being the co-regent with God over creation. He did that through the temptation in Genesis chapter 3. But all of this begins, this whole narrative begins, with Satan wanting to rule the world. Newsflash, foreshadowing here, he's going to get his chance. And it's coming through this global reset. Hey, there's a lot more I'm going to tell you about this thing next time on the Vintage Truth Podcast. God bless. Talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.